الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد
وعلى أهل بيته الأطيبين الأنجبين بهم نتولى ومن أعدائهم نتبرأ إلى الله. اللهم كل وليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة، وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا، حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا.
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد.
The Almighty Allah in a Hadith al-Qudsi. Ahadith al-Qudsiyya are the sisters of Quran. They are the words of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala to any one of the prophets, to any one of the A'imma. Quran is the word of Allah specifically to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. In this Hadith al-Qudsi, the Almighty, he says, Ya ibn Adam, Ana ghaniyun la aftaqir, ati'ni fima amartuk, aj'aluka ghaniyan la taftaqir. Says, O sons of Adam, I am the rich who is never needy. Says, be obedient to me, I will make you rich who is needless, will never be needy. Continues, Yabna Adam, Ana hayyun la amut. I am that living, O sons of Adam, I am that living who never dies. Says, obey me, I will make you living who will never die. And then concludes saying that, Yabna Adam, O sons of Adam, I say kun fayakun, that is, I say kun to a thing and it becomes, it happens. If you be obedient to me, I will make you like myself. You will say be and it will become. Now it seems to be simple, the words. So the whole idea is that the Almighty Allah, he says, by obedience, man, he becomes the reflection of the existence of Allah. Now how is it that by saying, by obedience, a person says be and it becomes? If you look into the biography of marhum Ayatullah Qazi Tabatabai and his student marhum Allama Tabatabai, the author of Tafsir al-Mizan, he says that when I was a young student in Najaf, I was with my ustad going towards Masjid-e-Sahla, and he was teaching me and we had a little debate, a discussion on our way, and all of a sudden I see amidst near the Masjid-e-Sahla there is a huge big snake in front of me. Ustad, his head was bowed down and he was just explaining to me the issues, but me, I was scared at seeing that snake. He says, as if nothing, he says, Mot bi'iznillah, murmuring under his tongue, that die by the command of God, and that snake dies. He says, by obedience, person, people, they come to a rank where Allah says that I will make them like me. That is a reflection of mine. As I say be and it becomes, they would say be and it would become. So these issues that we find, miraculous issues performed by prophets, miraculous things performed by the A'imma, etc., all that is as a result of obedience. That is, the more obedient a person is, the closer he is to Allah. Nowadays, people, they talk about Irfan a lot and they want to get to Irfan and mysticism and all these miraculous tasks and things they want to do. We'll talk on this issue today. The true Irfan is sought by the Holy Prophet. There is no one more arif than the Holy Prophet. As we recite in that dua, that Allahumma arifni nafsak, that God make yourself known to me. How is that self known to me? That is through that ma'rifah. The more the irfan, the more a person would know Allah. The more the irfan, the more a person would know the Prophet. The more the irfan, the more a person would be know the Imam. So what plays an important part in our life is obedience. So obedience to whatever Allah has said. Now what applies to us? Whosoever taqleed you are in, whichever mujtahid you follow, just stick to the format that he has said. Do and don't. Move within that framework and you will get all what Allah wants to give. It's all simple steps. There is nothing miraculous to be done. No impositions of asa, of any type, any sort, so that we become better people. No, it's only by obedience. So obedience plays the most important part in our life. So, atiyani fima amartuk. So when it comes to obedience, in this path of obedience and reducing the distance between us and God, many a times we find that there are shortfalls, there are shortcomings. Now those shortfalls, those shortcomings are the sins that we commit during our life. Now these sins that are committed, they do not reduce the distance between us and Allah. They increase the distance between us and Allah. So what should be done? Is there anything that Allah has made for us which could waive those sins, forgive, get those sins forgiven, so that we return to our original default settings? And that is Tawbah. Tawbah means repentance. Allah has a lot of favors, a lot of grace on his creation, on man, and one of his great graces is by this concept of tawbah, by repentance. No matter how much wrong a person may have had committed throughout his life, through this tawbah he can restore and recover whatever he has lost. The price that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has set for the human being is the heaven, the paradise. Among the creations of Allah, the best of all his creations is the heaven. There is nothing greater than the heaven that he has created. Allah says that the price of one individual, that one human being, is the heaven, is the paradise. And if we do something which reduces the price of human being from that price tag that has been set, which is the heaven, it is ourselves that are sustaining a huge, big loss. Now what reduces our price? It's disobedience. Not moving within the framework that Allah has set. All that wajib which He has said that we have to do, we don't stick to that wajib. That reduces our price. Haram, indecency, everything which is a sin, contamination, filth that we have throughout our life, that reduces the price. That reduces our price, which is the heaven, the paradise. Definition of a sin is disobedience to Allah. When you look into the performance of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, for example, Imam Sajjad alayhi salam. He defines a sin in a different way. Now we talk about these elite class definitions so that we come closer to those economy class definitions at least. That is, Imam, when he talks about sin, about a gunah, he says that, oh God, there is this dua in the dua Arafa which Imam has. There he says that, God, everything which I enjoyed and you were not present in that joy of mine, that is a sin. So what does that mean? For example, if I ate a tasty food, a delicious food, and I enjoyed that meal. Imam says, God, if I enjoyed that meal and you were absent in that joy of mine, that is a sin that I have committed, for which I need to repent. Or when we look at the children, they are nice, they are lovely. No, everyone loves children. When we look at these children and we enjoy, Imam says, in that joy of mine which I got by looking at that child, if God, you were absent in that joy, that is a sin I have committed, and for that I seek forgiveness. So that is the highest definition of a sin. Or in easier words, Imam says, everything which does not reduce the distance between man and God, that is a sin. Anything. It could be anything. Maybe a person does a musta'ab, but there would be another task which is more musta'ab than that. So by that task which is mustahab, more mustahab than the first one, that reduce the distance between Allah and God, man, quicker. So that is a sin. So that is the highest definition that we have. So now that we get contaminated with all these sins, disobediences, wrong in our life, how should that be waived? How should that be forgiven? For that Allah has kept tawbah, which is repentance. And these sins that we do throughout our life, they are in layers, they are barriers, they are hindrances, they are hijabs between us and Allah. So these barriers, they must be lifted, they must be removed, and that is by tawbah, that is through repentance. So, in this journey that we are heading on to, that is, we came from Allah, inna lillah, we are heading towards Allah, wa inna ilayhi raja'un, which we say, in this journey of suluk, in this journey of sayr, there are many ranks and many stages, and these stages we have to cross one after the other. So, the sins that we do in a hadith, Ma'asum, he says that the sins that we do during the day, they become a hijab, a barrier for the night. Meaning that people who sin during the day, they would not be lucky, they would not get the opportunity to perform the night prayers, Salat al-Layl, the nocturnal prayers. So if we were performing these night prayers and all of a sudden we find there's a break, we couldn't wake up, Imam says, look into your performance of the day. There might be a sin as a result of which sins of the day are barriers of the night, as Imam says. Or continues in that same hadith and says that it's like a knife which cuts the flesh into pieces. The sins which we do, they too shatter the worship into pieces. No matter how much good we may do, but that one sin, it breaks everything apart. So we have to, now all this a lesson to myself first. So sins, no matter what sins, may that be small, may that be big. Now no sin is a small sin. There is a hadith from Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam. Imam says that أَشَدُّ الزُّنُوبِ مَسْتَخَفَّ بِهِ صَاحِبُهُ. There's another report which says أَشَدُّ الزُّنُوبِ مَسْتَهَانَ بِهِ صَاحِبُهُ, which says that the worst of all sins is a sin which the committer of that sin says it's tiny, it's small. Imam says that is the greatest sin. That is, I just shook hand with a girl. I didn't have a whole burger, just a little munch. It was only a kiss. We didn't have a lot of chat, it was just a little bit of chat. So all these littles are the greatest, Imam says. So a person who does all these little wrongs, they are not little anymore, they are the greatest. To fall into the traps, those little are the largest. So for that reason, we are said that there has to be a total segregation between haq and na-haq. Between haq, which is right, and evil. A total segregation. When it comes to relationships between non-mahrams, again it's the same ruling, a total segregation, when it says no, no, that is obedience that Allah says in that Hadithun Qudsi, you be obedient to me, I will make you rich, never needless, I will make you living, you will never die, I will make you like myself, that is, you will say to a thing, be, and it will become. So, since they become a barrier, they do not allow us to do good. Sometimes sins, they are repairable. They can be recovered. All the loss that has been done, that can be recovered. That is, if the sin was really small and we were strong enough. But if we were not strong, the sin was stronger than what we are, then that cannot be repaired. That cannot be recovered. Allah in the Holy Quran says that, وَلَوْ أَنَّ أَهْلَ الْقُرَىٰ آمَنُوا وَاتَّقَوْا لَفَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ بَرَكَاتٍ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ. That if people, dwellers of the land, if they had faith, if they had taqwa, that is, if they were God-weary, taqwa means that whatever your mujtahid has said to do, do it, whatever he has said, don't do, don't do it. That's it. That is taqwa. There's no more complicated definition to it. Quran says that if you have iman and if you are God-weary, if you possess that taqwa, I will open up barakat, favors from the skies that will pour down onto this earth. Now many a times we find that all these problems, afflictions that we have during our life, all that is a result of our own wrongdoing. There's a book called Kimiya-e Mahabbat. You have an English translation of it online, Elixir of Love. You have it in Urdu as well. It's called Phir Maine Khuda Ko Pa Diya. It's a beautiful book, about 150 pages. If you get some time, read it. It's the biography of Marhum Sheikh Rajab Ali Khayyat. He says in that book, which is written by Ayatullah Ray Shahri, he says a person working in one of these departments in Tehran, a good person, a practicing mu'min, he has the filing section which he takes care of. The boss, he asks for a file and he couldn't find that file. He says, I want it by the end of this day. He couldn't find it. Says, okay, by tomorrow. He couldn't. Then says, okay, by the end of the week. He couldn't find it. He says, if you don't get it to me by Monday, there are severe consequences waiting for you. Now, mu'mineen, when they get stuck, they look into their own performance. They seek assistance from Allah. Comes straight to a mosque. There he has a tawassul and asks Allah to help. Comes out of the mosque. The moment he is out, someone hits him and says, the answer to your problem, it's with Sheikh Rajab Ali Khayyat. Says, this was a mystery. I don't know who this person was. How did he know that I have a problem? And I don't know who this Sheikh Rajab Ali Khayyat is. Says, anyway, because I was stuck, I wanted a solution. I go and find the address of that Sheikh and to his house. There were other people waiting to see him. When they were all done, he addresses me with my name, who hasn't seen me before and I have never seen him before. And then says, your problem, you want it to be sorted. Your sister, you have broken ties with her for the past 3 years. Her husband has died. She's been coping in this Tehran for the past 3 years. How she looked after and raised her orphans? That is another question. He says, you go and patch with your sister and everything else will be sorted. That's it. Runs, comes straight to his sister's house. And there's a pleading between the brother and the sister. And then they ask each other to be forgiven. Gives her some money, buys some grocery and says, I'll visit you very frequently from now on. And then the next day when he comes to his office, Saturday being the first day, opens the drawer and on the topmost, the first file which is present is the file which he had lost. How come? There is no one else working in that department. He himself takes care of all the files. Allah for Mu'mineen has that special grace. That is, when He wants to teach Mu'mineen, when He wants to correct them, He brings about all these afflictions, problems in our life. So when problems come across in our life, it is not as such that Allah, He is being unkind to us. It is His grace. It is His kindness. A mother who gives a bitter medicine to her baby, it's because of her love. She wants him to get well. Sometimes she gives injections, shots. That is again for that baby to get well. Allah, multiply that by infinity, works in that way. That He wants these human beings to correct themselves. So many a times we find that things are happening just before us, we don't see them. Things are being said by our ears, we don't hear them. So who makes us deaf? That's Allah. Who makes us blind for that temporary time? That is Allah. So in that path of obedience, that is reducing the distance between us and Allah, the wrong that unfolds in our life, that wrong is the sin. To get that wrong corrected, He has kept another grace, another favor, which is called Tawbah. By repentance, no matter how much wrong a person has done, in our deen, we have no right to confess before anyone. It is haram. That if I did anything wrong, I have no right to defame myself and go and say what all wrong I have done in front of another person. Confession only before Allah and no one else. And He forgives. So over here says that if you possess iman and if you possess taqwa, لَفَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ بَرَكَاتٍ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ, that from the skies barakat, favors, blessings in abundance will pour down on this earth. There's a hadith says that مَا مِنْ سَنَةٍ أَقَلُّ مَطَرًا مِنْ سَنَةٍ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى يَدَاهُ حَيْثُ يَشَاءُ, says that there is no year when you've got a lot of rain and another year where you get less rain. Says Allah, He has designed this whole creation in a way that there is a designated amount of rain, raindrops to be poured on every part of the land. Imam says that sometimes it so happens that that designated quota of rain, it doesn't fall on that land. The reason for that, it's the sins that we commit. The wrong that we do, as a result of all that wrong, that rain which is the blessing and the favor of Allah, which is to downpour on that land, it is sent away. The clouds are sent elsewhere, so that that people of that land, they don't benefit from it. He says He will send that rain, but not to that people, not to that land. So, the wrong that we do, it becomes a hindrance, a barrier for us attracting the favors and the barakat of Allah. When it comes to the wrong that we do, people who sin, they become soldiers of shaitan. Now all these are supported by ayat of Quran, ahadith of ma'asumeen. They say that shaitan's foremost assignment is to invite and to tempt man to commit a sin. And when he makes people fall into the trap, then he says, "Inni bari," that I haven't done anything, I just tempted you. It's you who have done. So that is again how shaitan invites people towards committing sin. When it comes to the wrong that we do, if a nation sins and disobeys Allah, they become the soldiers, the riders or the soldiers on foot of shaitan. Many a times, it is as such that those who preach what they do not practice, for them also Quran says that كَبُرَ مَقْتًا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ الَّذِينَ يَقُولُونَ أَنْ تَقُولُوا مَا لَا تَعْمَلُونَ, that the worst among the people, they are those who preach what they do not practice. So when a person preaches what he does not practice, he becomes an ordinary person. There is no distinction between himself and the regular people. So that is again for someone who has sinned and has not repented, or someone who preaches what he does not practice are on the same level, in the same category. And for them, Quran says that Ya hasratana ala ma farratu fi jambillah, that one of the names that is given to the Day of Judgment is Yawmul Hasra. That is the day when people would regret. Qiyamah, it has many names. Yawmul Qiyamah, Yawmul Taghabun, Zalzala, so on and so forth that are mentioned in Quran. One of the names is Hasrat, the day when people would regret. Regret what? That we wish we would have done something better so that we would have got a better position, a better rank in the hereafter. Ma'asum, he says that إِنَّ أَشَدَّ النَّاسِ حَسْرَةً يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ الَّذِينَ وَسَفُوا الْعَدْلِ ثُمَّ خَالَفُوهُ وَهُوَ قَوْلُ اللَّهِ, as it was mentioned, that the worst among the people, those who will regret the most, are those who talk about justice, who talk about adl, who talk about iman, who talk about taqwa, and then they don't practice it, or they act against it. Says for them that Yawmul Hasra will be very much seen. So a sin, it becomes a hijab, it becomes a barrier which stops us elevating, which stops the reduction of that distance between us and Allah. So we have to try and correct that. When it comes to the tawbah, there are different types of tawbahs that have been mentioned. How much must a person repent? Says a lot. You have to repent a lot. وَتُوبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا أَيُّهَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ, that you repent a lot. What type of a tawbah? What should be the quality of that tawbah? Says that tawbah has to be nasuh. Nasuh, again, defined by ma'asumeen, they say that it is a tawbah, a repenting, when a person, no matter what wrong he has done, if he sincerely admits to Allah and says that I've done wrong, and with that intention he doesn't repeat that sin again, that is nasuh. Or elsewhere ma'asumi says that it's like a barren father who never had children. All of a sudden, when he is given a child, blessed with a child, how happy that father becomes. Says Allah becomes happier than that father when one of his servants returns to him. That is again among the great graces that Allah has. That is nasuh. So in this field, in this journey that we are heading to, that is obedience, that is stick to whatever the mujtahid has said, do's and don'ts, and that is the path towards the existence of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Sometimes we find that in this field of perfection, shaitan tempts in different ways. Once in a while it's this haram, but sometimes he comes and says that no, okay, this makruh, it's just makruh, nothing else. So makruh is again another temptation which he comes, another trap which he lays before us. Once a person falls into the trap of makruh, then falling into the trap of haram, it's easier. So there has to be a distance that we have to keep between our performance and shaitan. The more the distance, the more secure the amal of a person would be. Our prosperity, it's in this obedience. Obedience that we have towards Allah. And again, if you look into the du'as that we have, there, one of these du'as says that Allahumma tahirni fihi min ad-danasi wal aqdar. In one of the du'as that we recite in the month of Ramadan, says Allah, clean me, purify me. So all these are the different ways of purification that we have. First of all, it's these actions that we do, correct them, top it up with these du'as, ask Allah to purify. As this taharat, it plays an important part. When it comes to these communications from Allah, Allah, He communicates with us, but we don't tend to listen to these communications. Why? Quran, if you see Surah Ash-Shams, says, وَالشَّمْسِ وَضُحَاهَا وَالْقَمَرِ إِذَا تَلَاهَا, That is, I swear by the sun when it shines, by the moon when it glows, and by the night, by the day, so on and so forth, comes to the point when it says, وَنَفْسٍ وَمَا سَوَّاهَا, says, and by the soul which Allah has perfected, which He has completed. What does it say? فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا, that to this soul, this ruh, Allah, He inspired, that is, He communicated the good and the bad. If you look into the phrases of these ayah, it says the sun shines, the moon glows, that the earth was spread. So there is a continuity in it. That is, it always shines, it always glows. The day, it always breaks. The night, it always comes. And then when it comes to the soul, it says Allah, He always inspires the soul. He always communicates with the soul, but we don't tend to hear the communication. The reason for that, it's these barriers that are between us and Allah. That is, because of these barriers, we don't listen to these communications that are between us and God. There is a lot of disturbance. When you want to listen to someone who is at a distance, we take our hand and keep it by the ear, that we listen to it clearly. Now over here it's the same. Communications of Allah are present. He communicates, but we don't tend to hear because it's so weak. The signals are so weak. There is so much of disturbance. And that disturbance has to be removed, and that is by tawbah. It has to be removed. So tawbah, it's like that river which is by your house where you wash yourself. One of the applicables of that, it's prayers. There's a hadith where the Prophet, he says that prayer is like the river which is by your home, by your house. If you were to wash yourself 5 times in a river, no trace of dirt would remain on you. It says, and if you were to wash your soul with prayer, that is 5 times a day, nothing wrong would remain on you. That is, all that evil that exists in us, that would all be washed away. So, Irfan means knowing Allah, knowing Prophet, knowing the Imam, and that is by obedience. Whatever the Prophet has said, Quran says, مَا أَتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُزُوهُ وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُوا. Whatever the Prophet has asked you to do, do it. Whatever he has said, don't do it. There's nothing more. There's just a few things to be done, and a few things not to be done. Masoom. Now again over here, the Prophet, he says that in this journey that we are heading to towards Allah, either it is a rafa meaning elevation, or a dafa meaning pushing. So sins, they are like dusty clouds that circle around us, and this dust has to be cleaned every now and then. If we don't clean it, we find that the soul, it becomes contaminated. So for regular people, it is that dust which is removed by way of istighfar. Now the teaching over here says that Rasulullah says that I repent 70 times a day. That is, I say astaghfirullah rabbi wa atubu ilayhi 70 times a day. He is the best of all the creation of Allah. No sins committed by him. Never, no thought of sins was done by him. He says, I say astaghfirullah. Now for him, what does it do? And for us, what does these istighfar do? For us, that dust is removed. That wrong is eliminated. For those of those high and elite class, says when they say astaghfirullah, it is like moving towards an elevation at a high speed. And you find all these dusty clouds coming towards yourself. It says when you say these astaghfirullah, those clouds, they are pushed away, so that they don't come towards us. But for us, when we say astaghfirullah, it already exists in us, and that is moved away from us. There is a hadith from Imam Mustafa alayhi salam. Imam says that this heart that Allah has created, it is a hook. Hook means a vessel. Says this heart, it has a vessel which has a lid on it. And that lead should be constantly and should constantly move. And Imam says that whenever that lid opens, that heart is enlightened with nur. And then Imam says, whenever you recite a salawat upon Muhammad wa ala Muhammad, that lid of the heart, it opens, heart is enlightened, and again that lid closes. And if that salawat is not recited for a long time, you find that that lid, it becomes rusted and it never opens anymore. And then Imam says that if you want to have that lid of your heart lubricant and at motion at all times, the WD-40 for that, it's the salawat that you recite. So tawbah, it has to be done a lot. When it comes to the quality of the tawbah, Imam says that quality is nasuh. And when a person repents, no one has the right to mock him. Why? Ma'asum, he says that at-ta'ibu min al-zamb kaman la zambala. That someone who has repented is as if there is no sin, no trace of sin which is present in his performance report. Now again, the grace that Allah has towards the sinners and who have repented, he says that those angels who had recorded the sins, I will make them forgetful. He says that I will erase the sins that were recorded in that register. Now Quran says that everything in this creation of Allah bears witness for or against a human being. Says that the place where that sin was committed, I will make that forgetful. When it comes to the good, he says you intend doing good, it will be recorded instantly. But when it comes to a sin, he says that I'll give you a 7-hour grace period. And in those 7 hours, if you say, God, I've repented, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk, wa astaghfirullah, a few times, says that even that sin which was committed, I'll just waive it. Says, at-ta'ibu min al-zamb kaman la zambala. Tawbah, repentance, is having hope in Allah. The more hope a person has, the better he will be forgiven. The more hope we have in Allah, the better we will benefit in the hereafter. There are amazing riwayat, inshallah. If we get some time in these days, we'll shed some light on that as well. According to one of the riwayat, it's the shahadat of our 8th Imam, Ridha alayhi salatu was salam. Again, the beauty of this Imam, one of the things that has been reported from him, although he was the ruler in line as appointed by Ma'mun la'natullahi alayhi, says with all that royalty or having that official position, when it was the time for lunch, when the food was laid, Imam sets aside the best of the food and then says that is to be distributed among the needy, the poor. Not like us, that all that which is left over is set aside. Before he starts, he sets it aside. And again, Imam, when he is coming towards Marv, Marv is the name of Mashhad before the Shahadat of the Imam. After the Shahadat, it's known as Mashhad. Now when Imam is coming towards Marv, when he comes towards Naishabur, there is a funeral, a body is being taken to be laid to rest. Imam, he comes down the horse, rushes after that funeral, and then comes, performs the funeral services, lays that person down in the grave, kisses him, buries him, and comes out. Now the companions of the Imam who were with him, they say that, Imam, who was he? We know that this is the first time you are coming towards Khorasan, and before that you have never come here. And as far as we know, you haven't got any relatives here, no family. What was he? Who was he? Imam says he was a Shia of mine. a follower of mine. For the Shias, there is a special grace from Ma'sumin. Especially those who have repented, they get even much more favors from Ma'sumin. In this tragedy of Karbala, we find every institute alive. Among them is this institution of Tawbah. We find Hur, who is on the other side, someone who is deep down in the hellfire. On the day of Ashura, because of repentance and due to obedience, he switches from someone who is deep down in the hell, elevated to a rank who is remembered so loud today, and that is by that obedience. During the time of Shah Abbas Safavi, about 600-700 years ago, this Shah of Iran, he travels to Karbala and there pays a visit to Abu Abdullah Hussein. His soldiers, they say that there is another shrine, another grave of one of the companions of Abu Abdullah, and that is Hur. You haven't paid visit to him. He says Hur, he was among the other side, from the other side, from the enemy's side. They say no, but he repented. He says, regardless, had he repented, then his body also must have been buried with the 72 over here. Why is he buried over there at that distance? And says that he had repented, he was with the Ashab of Imam. He says, okay. Does not Quran says that those who have been killed in the way of Allah, they are alive? أَحْيَاءٌ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ يُرْزَقُونَ. He says that if that is the case and he is a martyr, he is a shaheed, you will dig over, open his grave, exhume him. And then if you find him, and we'll see, if he exists over there, I will admit and I will make a shrine for Hur. And if not, then what I believe is going to remain as it is. They dig open the grave. That is about 700 years after Karbala, in those extensive, severe weather conditions, 50 degrees Celsius plus in summer. Says when they dig open the grave, they find Hur as if he has been laid to rest just this day. The body is fresh. And then Shah Abbas Safavi says that the bandage that was tied onto the head of Hur when he was wounded, that was the handkerchief which Hazrat Zahra had woven, which Abu Abdullah and Hussein had tied onto his head. Says, I'll take that as a token of the Tabarruk and I'll keep it with me to win all these wars and battles that I'm fighting. The moment they take that out, the head starts bleeding. They want to stop it with everything that is present over there, it wouldn't stop. That same thing had to go back. That handkerchief which Abu Abdullah had tied was tied onto the head of Hur and it stopped. He takes a thread out of it to keep it as the burden. So that is obedience. Says, you be obedient to me, أَجْعَلُكَ حَيًّا لَا تَمُوتْ. That you be obedient to me, I will make you living that never dies. You be obedient to me, I will make you rich who is never needless. You be obedient to me, I will make you say kun fayakun, and it will become. So in this path of obedience, the wrong that we do, the sins that we commit, they can be forgiven, they can be waived, and that is by sincere repentance, by sincere tawbah. And one of the doors, or the best doors from where this tawbah can be sought, is the door of Abu Abdullah Hussein. Says Safinatul Hussein, أَوْسَعْ وَأَسْرَعْ. The ship of Hussein, it's vast, it's fast. Hur, someone who was contaminated, was in the hell, elevated, in a few hours he reached the highest peak of the paradise. That is through that tawbah, by that obedience. The tears shed for Abu Abdullah, they too are that fast track towards tawbah. There is a phrase that we find that Prophet Musa, when the Messiah, the recital of the Prophet Musa by Jibreel, he says, صغيرهم يميته العطش كبيرهم جلده منكمش. صغيرهم meaning the little among them, the small, the young among them. Their thirst will kill them. This is what Jibreel says. Says the elders among them, their flesh, their skin, it will be dried, it will be squeezed due to that heat of the day of Ashura. If we see the tragedy, if we analyze it, every human being that we have dies one type of a death. It's either a regular death, or being killed, or he fell ill and he dies. But we find that about Abdullah and Hussein, he has all these different types of death on that one day. He was killed, he was poisoned, he was martyred, he was hurt, he was hit. Everything that we could think of was seen on the day of Ashura with Abu Abdullah and Hussein. Hadith al-Qisa, which we recite very often, there is a phrase over there, says that يَحْزُنُنِي مَا يَحْزُنُهُمْ. The Prophet, he says that whatsoever grieves them, grieves me. If they are hurt, we are hurt. There's a phrase we find in Ziyarat Nahiyat al-Muqaddasa. There says that a time came for Abu Abdullah and Hussein when he fell off the horse, when he is wounded. قَدْ سَكَنَتْ حَوَاسُكْ, Imam says. That you, there wasn't any movement in you. Why wasn't there any movement in the Imam? If we get hit, if we get pricked, if with just a needle, we find that the entire body shakes with that one pricking of the needle. For Abu Abdullah and Hussein, the wounds, they are numerous. Wounds of the daggers, of the spears, again, 30 plus. There's a whole, the entire body is wounded from head to toe. Now someone who is wounded from head to toe, why didn't the body shake? This is a question that may come to our mind. With just a prick of a needle, the entire body shakes. Now someone who is so much wounded, drowned in blood, why doesn't the Imam shake? Says maybe. Now we believe, now Hadith al-Qisa says, many of the other riwayat, they say, that when we are hurt, ma'asumeen, they are hurt. Now when Abu Abdullah is hurt, will not his mother be hurt? When he is hurt, will not the father be hurt? When he is hurt, will not the grandfather be hurt? So that they, he doesn't cause more distress to them, he doesn't move, he doesn't shake. Ala la'natullah ala al-qawm al-zalimeen. وَسَيَعْلَمُ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا أَيَّامٌ كَرَجًا يَنْقَلِبُونَ إلهي بحق الزهرة وأبيها وبعلها وبنيها والسر المستودع فيها يا الله 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 اللهم اغفر لنا ولوالدينا ولمن وجب له حق علينا ولمن وصانا بالدعاء ولجميع أمة محمد وآل محمد. يا الله, all those who are ill and ailing, grant them shifa. All those who have passed away, elevate their ranks. All the wrong that we have done, forgive us. Reduce the distance between us and yourself. Hasten the reappearance of the Imam of time. Count us among his true supporters and servants, and those who seek shahadat in his service. Father, I'm saying.